This is Digital Dave. Here we are.
And I'm still Fast Eddie.
And this is day two of AirVenture 2012.
And it's a little overcast right now, but we've still got people out there flying all kinds of aircraft.
That's a good thing, too, because it's better to see them fly.
Absolutely. I mean, it wouldn't be AirVenture if we didn't have air in it.
That's true. It would probably just be Venture, and that'd be boring.
It could be Vacuum Venture. We could go that far.
Oh, boy. Oric would love that.
Yep.
Anyway, we're joined by Captain Commander. Excuse me,
Commander.
Not a Navy guy.
Not Captain yet. Close.
Working on it. Al Armstrong of the United States Navy. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
And what do you think? I'm just losing it here.
Man, I'll tell you. Come on, babe. Grab some gears here. Push in the clutch.
Push in the clutch.
Get some coffee. You are flying for the Dixie Wing of the Commemorative Air Force. You are not only an F-18 pilot, but you're also a pilot of a very rare airplane.
Yeah, in the military, and then I used to fly A-6 Intruders. I was a bombardier there, and then operate the weapons in the F-16. But you know that stuff's a lot of work. And I teach student pilots how to fly the Hornet, but they're always trying to kill me. So this is just for sanity. You know, you go out here in the Dixie Wing with the Commemorative Air Force. Is a fantastic organization. You know, enables guys who have sort of a unique set of piloting skills to go fly some amazing airplanes. So get to fly the SPD Dauntless Dive Bomber. There's only two of those flying in the world. I'll be flying that in the show today. And then giving rides down at Fond du Lac in that and the P-51 and fly their Corsair. And it's a pretty good gig.
Now, as a guy who grew up on jets, flew the F-18, one of the hottest jets out there, and then you go to this old, noisy, piston, smelly thing. What's your impression? I mean, do you sit there and go, this is really cool, or...
Yeah, we're not on the air, right? This is just all off the record.
Yeah, there you go.
I got a little secret for you. The F-18 is the easiest airplane in the world to fly. My grandmother could fly a Hornet. It's just totally different, and the World War II stuff is just super cool and requires a completely different skill set. You know, every time you strap one of those on, you just think about who was doing this 50 years ago and 60 years ago with 150 hours of flight time. And, you know, the Dauntless in particular, that's the aircraft that, it wouldn't be overstating it to say it won the war in the Pacific at the Battle of Midway, sank four aircraft carriers in one day with tremendous losses from the, you know, torpedo squadrons, too, who enabled that. And you just get in that airplane, you're pretty awed, you know.
The part that amazes me about the naval aviation of the day is just how they navigated and found the target and then found their way back.
Yeah, and if you talk to the old guys, they were much more anxious about finding their way back than they were about the actual combat part, because at that point you're just, you know, you're sort of on autopilot. I mean, just do what you do, and there's a mission, and it's focused because you have something you need to do. And if you're fortunate enough to survive that, you know, find the enemy, survive the attack, you know, dive down from the mid-teens in your 70 to 90 degree dive angle, release your bomb at 1500 feet, pull out at wave top level, egress the target area without getting shot down, and then go, whew, boy, that sucked. Yeah. Now where's the boat?
Yeah.
And by the way, the compasses don't work real well in those airplanes, so you don't know what the wind is, you're guessing, and everyone kind of had, you know, back in the day, someone say, hey, I think the boat's heading 230, and another guy would be like, I think it's 180, and eventually guys got to make their own decision, and we put a lot of guys in the water.
Yeah, that's stakes.
Yeah, it depends upon how hard you hit the water.
Well, but at that point, you're giving up a perfectly good airplane. If it's, you know, if it survived the attack, it's probably okay to use again.
Well, yeah,
but not after it swims.
It says here that you have over 2,000 hours flying the Super Hornet. How many hours do you have in the Dauntless?
Something slightly less than 100.
But they're like, you know, that's like dog years. The Dauntless being so much harder to fly, you know, that's like seven times.
I will say those 2,000 hours in the Hornet and another 1,000 hours in A6s, those 3,000 hours together equate to an equivalent hearing loss as the 100 hours in the Dauntless.
Oh, I believe that.
Yeah, definitely.
I believe that. So you're not using World War II headphones in the Dauntless, are you? They got you something better, I hope.
No, and I try to use these ANR, you know, the active noise reduction, mm-hmm. and it wipes those out. It's just so loud that they're completely maxed out, and it's always troublesome to get it to work.
Well, wow. we all know the kind of training the Navy puts out. It's extraordinary training because you're flying a multi-million dollar aircraft. They would like you not only to come back, but to come back with the airplane still flyable. What kind of training did you have to do to get into the Dauntless?
You know, people who, and I was this way too, as a guy who always had an interest in GA, and you grow up, and if you like aviation, everybody wants to fly warbirds, and you sort of think it's unattainable. And then as you reach a little bit further and learn a little bit more, you realize actually there are opportunities to do that stuff, but there's sort of a unique background set of experience. So the baseline is, you know, 2,000 hours of pilot time, which for military guys, that's pretty easy. Most guys can do that. The next wicket that makes it a little more difficult is 1,000 hours of single engine piston, and most people who have these type of airplanes will require that, and that gets a little harder unless you have a GA background, but still not out of the realm of possibility. And then the one that makes it impossible for most folks is you got to have 200 hours of SNJ/T6 time, you know, heavy radial engine, high horsepower tail dragger stuff.
Right.
And that's just really difficult to get. So I had two other Navy buddies, and we all wanted to do this, and so we just bought an SNJ and flew the heck out of it and all got our tailwheel time. And one of my buddies is flying the Hellcat and the Bearcat, and the other one's flying the Sky Raider and some other stuff, and I'm flying the Corsair and the Mustang and the Dauntless. And you know, and then once you've got that background of experience, another thing, the training continuum in World War II was actually pretty sensical. You know, we killed a lot of guys because it was hard, but if you can make it through Stearman's and if you can make it through T6s, then you know what, flying the rest of these airplanes, the actual aviating part's not so hard. You know, now you're trying to learn the tactics and systems and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, with that background of experience to fly the Dauntless, I went through a ground school. And then our sort of head honcho at our CAF unit, a real experienced guy named Jim Buckley, said, okay, well, let's go through the checklist, start up the airplane, taxi around a little bit. So I did that, and then he came back and said, let's shut it down, get some gas, have you do a hot start. So we got some gas, and I'm getting ready to get back in. He's like, all right, man, just go flying, have fun, do a couple landings. I'm like, you know, you want to come with? And he's like, no, you're good. Just have at it. I mean, there's only two of these flying, but you're good.
Yeah, right, right. You
know, bring it back.
Translated. I'm not going to be killed.
Yeah, don't bring a parachute because I don't want you back without the airplane.
Oh.
So, you know, and then you fly it and you figure out, wow, this is, you know, it's not that hard. You can do it.
That's crazy. Yeah. It's amazing. I guess you got to look back at how the technology has changed. You know, you're used to the Hornet doing this. This is, oh, you push a little thing and the wheels go up and down and the SBD, you're probably cranking.
Yeah, there's, well, you're not cranking, but, you know, the ergonomics on all the World War II airplanes, suffer a little bit, you know. There's just
wasn't a word then.
You're just, you know, you're just moving hands around, and there's a lot going on, and it's you know, I'll take my F-18 buddies for flying in our SNJ that we have, and they're invariably horrendous at it. You know, the up and away stuff, you know, strangely enough, it's not hard to fly an airplane when you're up and away, but that whole pesky taking off and landing thing, and then flying it at sort of the margin of controllability, accelerated stalls and departures and stuff like that, and that's totally different from anything you know, with their military experience.
The current crop of military jets has so much computer horsepower in there to prevent you from doing anything exceedingly stupid.
Right.
But you just don't have that in the old airplane. There's no crutch.
Right. One of my partners, you know, he was the Commodore out west for basically the guy who owns all the F-18s. And the CO of the Blues was one of his buddies at the time. Actually, was his boss at the time. And he took him flying our airplane, and he immediately departed it just because it's, you know, and he was really shocked because it's like, wow, this is not like anything I've ever flown before. And it's not. I tell guys it's not necessarily harder, but it is completely different. It's just a different skill set.
Right. Well, even the wing technology changed so much from then to now.
I was going to say with a Hornet, you have so much automation on board. It prevents you from getting into trouble.
Right.
When you're in the Dauntless, there are none of these systems. The only thing keeping you out of trouble is your own brain.
Well, plus power to weight ratio.
And and experience too.
It's just getting a feel for the airplane. You can start feeling if you're getting some buffet margin, or you know, you can feel yaw rates develop. The Hornet and the Super Hornet have this neat little thing called beta dot feedback, which, you know, in aerodynamic terms, it means it won't let yaw rates build up. So basically, you can just ham fist that thing all over the place and you really can't depart it. You might be falling out of the sky at 10,000 feet per minute at 90 knots indicated, but you're completely controllable. I mean, you can point it, you're just falling like a stone. And the airplane will, you know, the airplane's going to keep that sort of margin for control, but you don't have that with these World War II.
Well, you know you're in trouble when the flight computer says, I'm scared.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it doesn't say don't do that.
Yeah.
It sits back and watches.
We did ask that one time of another pilot with a computer-controlled aircraft. Did the computer ever say no to you?
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
No, but what it does do is, particularly with the flight controls in most modern airplanes, is you're not really moving anything. You're moving the stick, and we term it that you're voting member, you know, on the control
on
input.
The committee.
So
yes,
you might put a rudder pedal input and tell the jet, I want some yaw. And the jet's going to go like, I know what you're asking for, but I'm not really going to give you that. You don't really want that.
Not today. So anyway, the Dauntless doesn't. The Dauntless will make you look bad.
Actually, I tell people that, which is, you know, again, I'm glad we're not on the air or anything, but the Dauntless makes really average pilots look really good because it's a very easy airplane to fly. I mean, if you've got that sort of heavy tailwheel experience, it's just a sweetheart. It is really honest flying qualities, and it's simple to land. And so,
are there any other airplanes in the CAF that you want to fly?
Yeah, I'd like to fly all of them.
Okay, and what are you going to do next week?
Yeah. Is there any particular airplane in the collection that's caught your eye outside of the Dauntless?
Outside of Fifi?
Well, I got to fly the... I'm sort of partial to smaller airplanes, given the background. I got to fly the Corsair this year, and that's been, you know, especially as a Navy guy, that's been an amazing experience. And I'd love to fly the Jug if they ever got one going. P-47 would be a cool airplane. We don't have a P-38 anymore, but I'd love to fly P-38. I'd love to fly the P-40.
Were you out here drooling when they flew that one yesterday?
Of course, like the rest of the other 100,000 people here.
Yep.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, the P-40s have become exceedingly rare as well recently.
Yeah, not a lot of them flying.
However, you might have a shot at one of those Griffin-powered Spitfires in about 10 years when that guy gets them out of that field in Burma.
Yeah, that would be fun. I'm kind of jealous my buddy's flying that. I'd love to fly the Bearcat and the Hellcat, actually, as well. The Dauntless and the Hellcat are not the most well-known or highly recognized naval aircraft of World War II, but they're, you know, they're clearly the most significant naval aircraft of World War II.
Absolutely.
And they were there when it counted.
Right.
The other ones came along later.
What a lot of people don't understand is the Hellcat was the deadliest Allied airplane built.
Absolutely. Made more aces and had more kills.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's to the enemy, right?
Yeah, to the enemy. Because everybody thinks the Mustang was, and Mustang was number two.
Well, the Mustang's claim to fame, and I enjoy flying it, you know, even for an Air Force airplane. But it's, you know, it had the range to get to the target, you know, to escort all the way. So you coupled kind of sexy looking with had the range, and that sort of built the legend, I
believe. That's the beautiful thing about the Mustang. It's got the lines, it's got the sound. Who couldn't love a Mustang?
Right.
A guy who likes radials.
Yeah.
Yeah, although the first time I flew it, it was similar kind of checkout. I mean, just sort of go and do it, although I had a guy with me that time in the airplane. But I come in, you know, you do your standard up and away stuff, flying qualities, and then it's, okay, let's go do some landing. So we go and roll in the groove, and I never, you know, hadn't really been in the airplane before. And as I'm crossing the threshold and figure, okay, I think I'm done with the power, and yank the throttle back, just starts backfiring, sounds like a cannon going off there and everything. I was like, holy, and my buddy's like, that's cool, it does that. It's like, well, that would have been a nice briefing point. I would have appreciated
it. Don't mind those flames coming out of the side of the airplane. Yeah. That's normal.
Doesn't really matter. It sounds like the engine's going to fall off, but you're good.
Well, we'll be seeing you flying in the afternoon air show then.
I believe I will be. So in the Dauntless.
Very good.
Excellent.
I want to thank you for joining us, sir.
Thanks for having me.
And this is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie. And you're still listening to EAA Radio.
There you go.